The visit to Italy. Ellen White was weary and worn and would have welcomed a few weeks' rest, but she found herself immediately involved in plans for another trip, this time to Italy. There were some problems in Italy.
B. L. Whitney, president of the Central European Mission, suggested that she accompany him to Torre Pellice to bolster the spirits of the few discouraged believers there.
Weary and worn from the arduous labors of our northern trip, she wrote, I would gladly have rested a few weeks in our home in Basel. But arrangements were made to start out again the next Thursday, less than a week after reaching home. Thursday morning, November 26, her 58th birthday, accompanied by Mary White and Whitney, Ellen White boarded the train for Torre Pellice. A.C. Bordeaux had just located there with his family. Ellen stated that the purpose of the visit was to encourage the little company there who are striving under great difficulties to obey God. The believers were meeting opposition on the question of the seventh-day Sabbath by one who had a few months before accepted it but was now a bitter opponent. Ellen White presented the picture of the beginning of her work in Torre Pellice. The next day, Sabbath, I spoke to the brethren and sisters in the hired hall in which they held their regular Sabbath meetings. Owing to a delay in getting out the appointment, few besides our own people were present. But I felt the same interest in speaking to the few that I would have felt in addressing hundreds. Choosing as my text, I tried to impress upon them the importance of obeying God and walking in the light, regardless of the opinions or course of the world. She pointed out that the question might arise in some minds as to why commandment keepers are separated from the world into little companies, and she answered, "It is not because we choose to differ from those around us, but because we see the necessity of obeying all the requirements of God." A secondary objective in her visit to Italy was to see the Waldensian valleys. During the week she did some sightseeing, going by carriage to nearby points of special interest. When the carriage could go no farther, several times she climbed the hills to points of historic interest relating to the experience of the Waldenses as they attempted to hide from their persecutors, and where many lost their lives. They were now in the very heart of the Waldensian hideouts. Ellen White's heart thrilled as she recounted in her mind the history of God's noble, persecuted witnesses. Some of the surroundings had a familiar look to her, for in vision she had been shown the travails and persecutions of the Waldenses. While she stayed in the Bordeaux home in Torre Pellice, council meetings were held to give study to the best way to conduct the work in Italy. We keep asking the Lord, she wrote, to open the way for the truth to find access to hearts in these valleys. Bordeaux spoke on the third Sabbath, giving Ellen a bit of rest, but Sunday afternoon she addressed an attentive audience. She spoke again Sunday night, her last meeting there. At 4:30 in the morning of Tuesday, December 15, she and her companions were at the depot to catch the train back to Turin. By the weekend she and Mary were home. She spoke to the believers Sabbath morning in the meeting hall at the publishing house. A large mail was waiting for her, and she picked up her work with no overshadowing of urgent travel plans. She had now made the rounds of visits to the principal countries of Europe where the message was reaching out. If she was to remain in Europe, she hoped to make progress with her literary work. The length of her stay in Europe had not been determined. Widowed for 5 years, she missed James and his counsel in making decisions. Her son, W.C. White, was very helpful, but he was away at this time attending the General Conference in Battle Creek, Michigan. As to her situation in general, Ellen White wrote to Willie on December 22. I can tell you, I find abundance of work that keeps coming ready to my hand and I see no place to rest, even in Europe. I think I will purchase a horse and carriage and ride out daily. I do not take pleasure in the rides taken with a coachman and hackman. Within a month she had made the purchase, which she described in a letter to J.D. Rise in California. I am now quite a cripple from the broken ankle. It was injured 5 years ago in Battle Creek. I cannot walk at times without a cane. I have had to purchase me a horse and carriage, cost something more than $300 for the whole outfit. All deemed it necessary for me as they surely saw I could not get exercise by walking. Continuing her December 22nd letter to Willie, she wrote, "Well, I am certainly doing more work than at any other period of my life, and I am thankful that the Lord has given me strength to work. I see our work has but just begun here. I see so much to be done and I am doing too much. I wish I could do the work of 10. I would gladly do it. But I can only do the work of 1, poor, frail at that. May God work Himself." In regard to writing in the future, she commented, "I cannot say. I must write." One important literary task that loomed before her was the enlargement of the first of the great controversy books, The Spirit of Prophecy, Volume 1, the one dealing with most of the Old Testament history, a volume that was to become Patriarchs and Prophets. She wrote, "I think I can do it as well here in Europe as in America. Make just such arrangements as you please. If Marion is worn and has her plans arranged to stay, I can send writing there, but if you think it advisable for her to come, all right." The family now occupied 5 rooms on the 3rd floor of the publishing house. After returning from Scandinavia, Ellen had discovered that the unheated publishing house was cold as a barn and needed more furniture to make it comfortable. She had admired the stove she had seen in Sweden, so she went down and selected one of those earthen stoves like the white ones in Sweden, but this one we have purchased is about 5 feet, 2 meters, high, brown earthenware. It is a beauty for $20. So you see we shall be nicely fixed here for the winter. In this same letter she wrote, "Brethren Whitney and Kellogg are true and earnest to do all they can for us. Brother Kellogg boards with us. They seem to think I must have everything I need to make me comfortable. But very little has been expended for furniture. Things picked up and borrowed have fitted us out with 3 good bedsteads and mattresses. Both rooms have carpets, not entirely covered, but answer all purposes. During the winter and spring months of 1886, Ellen devoted her energies to writing, with occasional weekend trips to nearby churches in Switzerland. In addition to her almost constant letter writing, her first literary work was to carry out the resolution, passed during the closing days of the European Missionary Council, that called for the publication in English of a report of the European missions, with a report of Sister White's morning talks and a sketch of her visit to the missions. See Historical Sketches of the Foreign Missions of the Seventh-day Adventists, 118. This would be for the information and encouragement of members in America.